Well, as Brian said, today's sermon is a little bit different, so I'm just going to sort of intro that and explain what we're doing today. So, as you're aware, we've been in the book of Matthew on the road to ruin. We've been following Jesus on his way to the cross as he knowingly, resolutely heads straight towards his own death, and that he knowingly did that for the world. We've seen a lot about Jesus, about who he is, how he fulfills God's promises, and about his character. We've seen that he is the great Son of Man who came to serve by giving his life. We've seen that he is the King, the merciful Son of David, who is humble and rode in on a donkey. We've seen that he's the only true Son of God with all the authority of God himself. We've seen that he is the legitimate Christ, the one that the Jews had been waiting for millennia, with all wisdom. And we've seen that he is the one true and righteous rabbi, the teacher who can teach God's word with authority, for it is his word. And we left off last week at chapter 23 with Jesus pronouncing judgment on the religious teachers and leaders of the day for their hypocrisy and the fact that they've missed the point and that they reject him. And so today, we get to chapter 24, and knowing that just in a couple of days, he knows that in a couple of days he's going to be killed, Jesus takes his disciples aside and gives them their final sermon, their final teaching from him before his death and resurrection. And so these words are obviously really poignant and really important for us, because as Jesus' last words before his crucifixion to his disciples, they're Jesus' last words before his crucifixion for us as well. And so Jesus here focuses on the last days of the world as we know it. He focuses on the final stage of history, which he knows will begin after he is crucified and risen and returns to heaven to the Father, up until the time when he will return, the second coming. He will return as Lord to judge and to save his people. And so what we want to do is, I thought, it's two chapters of Jesus just teaching his disciples. It'd be a real shame to break it up. We've been kind of getting a bigger, zoomed out kind of view so far. And it would be a bit much to kind of read two whole chapters and then sort of preach on two whole chapters. So what we're going to do, instead of reading and then preaching, we're just going to read Jesus' sermon to his disciples as our sermon. So we're going to, I thought an appropriate way for me to finish as well, like, let just Jesus speak for himself. So we're going to do it as a bit of a dramatic reading without the drama. So we've got some other readers to read some of the parts of the people in the parables and the narrator. And so we're going to hear from Jesus himself. So it's all about his return. And the big idea is Jesus says, wickedness will increase. I will be coming back and you don't know when I'll come. So be ready. Be ready for when I return. Be faithful servants. Live righteous and godly lives, as we've already been reminded this morning. And then we finish in chapter 26 with another declaration from Jesus, I'm about to be crucified. And then the Pharisees plotting to do just that. So you might want to read along as we read, or you might want to just listen. It's up to you. But I will say there'll be some stuff that we come across that you might think, I don't know what Jesus is talking about there, and because we're not going to stop to explain it all today. That's all right. Go out to morning tea, talk about all that together. Head out this week and read Matthew 24 and 25 and work on that. What a great way to let God's Spirit keep working at us as we come to understand his word. Thanks, Brian. All right, so if you want to open your Bibles, we're starting at Matthew 24, verse 1. I'll give you some time to turn that up, and I'll pray while we do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these words that Jesus so carefully and so deliberately gave to his disciples as some of his last to them before his crucifixion. And we pray that as we are reminded that we live in these last days, we live in between Jesus' first coming and his second coming, that he is coming back as Lord, we pray that these words would impact us. We pray that you'd be at work in us so that we would be ready for his return as faithful and wise servants. Amen.
Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call attention to its buildings.
Do you see all these things?
He asked.
Truly I tell you, not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down.
As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately.
Tell us,
they said,
when will this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?
Jesus answered,
watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name claiming, I am the Messiah, and they will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumours of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you,
look, here is the Messiah,
or
there he is,
do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I've told you ahead of time, so that if anyone tells you,
there he is, out in the wilderness,
do not go out, or
here he is, in your room,
do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day, or the hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, even up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. Well, that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill, and one will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom the master has put in charge of the servants in his household to give them their food at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whose master finds him doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose that servant is a wicked servant and says to himself,
"My master is staying away a long time."
And then he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. Well, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. Well, the bridegroom was a long time in coming and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out,
"Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him."
Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise,
"Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out."
"No,"
they replied,
"there may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves."
But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet and the door was shut. Later the others also came.
"Lord, Lord,"
they said,
"open the door for us."
But he replied,
"Truly I tell you, I don't know you."
"Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5.
"Master,"
he said,
"you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more.
His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." Well, the man with 2 bags of gold also came.
"Master,"
he said,
"you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more.
His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." And then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came.
"Master,"
he said,
"I knew that you were a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you."
His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I've not sown and gathered where I've not scattered seed? Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. And throw that wicked, worthless servant outside into darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him,
"Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?"
The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer,
Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?"
He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples,
"As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified."
Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him.
"But not during the festival,"
they said,
"or there may be a riot among the people."
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of Jesus recorded for us. We thank you that they teach us and remind us that he is coming back. He will come back to judge. He will come back to save his people. And we pray, Lord, that you would be at work in us, that we would be good and faithful servants. We would be those who care for the sick, the poor, the needy, those who obey his word and look forward to his return, so that we will hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and enter into your master's happiness." Amen.